Following the design of a new system, it must be implemented. And there are four different ways that a business may choose to change over to the new system. A direct changeover is the simplest but most dangerous strategy. Staff could log off and leave at 5 o'clock on a Friday, and then return at 9 a.m. Monday morning to log on to a completely new system. So out with the old and in with the new. All at once. What problems do you think this might cause? Well, we may assume that the staff were prepared for the new system and have received some kind of training, but nevertheless, the system will certainly be less familiar to them, and as a consequence, the organisation might not be as productive. The main concern here is one of putting all your eggs in the same basket. What if the new system fails? Well, the consequences would be disastrous to a business. So the risk of a direct changeover strategy to any business is a significant one, and most businesses would choose instead a changeover strategy that would allow them to test aspects of the new system in some form or another. There is, however, a clear advantage to the direct changeover, and that is that fewer resources are needed in terms of people, money, and equipment in order to implement the new system. So how might a business implement a new system, but without scrapping, certainly all at once, the old system? Well, there are three different strategies that could be used to change over in such a way that the new system can be tried and tested to a greater or lesser extent. So the polar opposite to a direct changeover is a parallel changeover. Don't discard the old system and implement the new in one go. Simply implement the new. Keep the old. Use both systems simultaneously. By running the old system in parallel to the new system, there is essentially no risk to the business of any potential failure of the new system. Furthermore, the results could be compared between the old system and the new system to check that everything is actually working correctly before discarding the old. There is a disadvantage, of course, and that is the effect on productivity. Staff are having to do everything twice, and this can be expensive to a business. Expense perhaps not in terms of raw cost, but certainly in terms of time. And time is money. So to compare the two, a direct changeover may be used in a situation where the IT system in question was not crucial to business activity. In an industry where the IT system is crucial, then a parallel changeover would give the business maximum protection against the risk of failure. So, why not split the difference, either based upon the geographical breakdown of the business, or perhaps functionality of the new system? So let's consider geographical divisions first. This is known as a pilot conversion. Imagine an organisation that may have a head office and a number of branch offices in different locations around the country. Perhaps one of those branch offices would be identified as the pilot for the new system, which means as far as that branch is concerned, they essentially receive a direct changeover, out with the old, in with the new, but this change is not organisation-wide, only focusing on one branch. This gives a business time to identify any failure of the new system and to correct it before rolling the pilot out into other branches. As the implementation would only be on one branch at a time, it's on a much smaller and far more manageable scale. The only minor disadvantage being, it simply takes longer to implement the new system organisation-wide. As an alternative to a geographical division, the new system could be implemented in terms of functionality. One part of the new system at a time, but that part across the whole organisation. And this is called a phased conversion. Phase in the new system one piece at a time. And this is ideal if a new IT system consists of separate modules. For example, the stock control module for running the warehouse could be separate entirely to the finance system used for customer invoicing. So a phased conversion has the advantage that any problems can be identified and corrected one module at a time before moving on to the next phase of implementation. The disadvantage is that not all IT systems lend themselves to implementation in this way. There may well be compatibility problems between an old and a new system, requiring all aspects of a new system to be implemented together. So in summary, an organisation completely dependent upon its data, for example, a bank, would risk total ruin if there were any problems with a new system and a direct changeover was adopted, and so might sensibly adopt a parallel changeover approach in order to minimise the risks of introducing the new system. Because if anything goes wrong, the old system is always there to fall back on. Following the implementation of any IT system, it needs to be maintained. And there are three different types of maintenance that you should know about. Even with rigorous testing, not all bugs in the software will necessarily be found. And therefore, when faults come to light following implementation, they need to be corrected. This is known as corrective maintenance, fixing things that should have been right in the first place, but for whatever reason, weren't detected during development. For example, a piece of software may crash only when used with a particular piece of hardware, or a calculation on an invoice might produce the wrong result. Correcting faults with the original software is not the same as modifying it to improve performance or to introduce additional functionality. Any changes requested by a business after their software has been commissioned must fall into the categories of either perfective or adaptive maintenance. Perfective maintenance is concerned with improving the performance or ease of use. So, for example, a particular user interface may well be created based upon what the customer specified. However, when staff start using the system, they may complain that certain things aren't clear, so the business may go back to the original developers and say, "We've had some feedback from the users and the interface is more difficult than it needs to be," or "Reports are taking far too long to produce." And the final category, adaptive maintenance, is concerned with any changes required to alter the functionality of the software, perhaps in response to a change in the business needs. For example, an organisation might expand, so the software needs to be altered to cope with an additional number of users. Or a business could acquire new hardware, and the software might need to be redeveloped for compatibility reasons. So in summary, after software has been implemented, it needs to be maintained. Corrective maintenance is about fixing any mistakes that weren't detected during testing. Perfective maintenance is concerned with improving the performance or ease of use. Adaptive maintenance is the introduction of new functionality owing to a change in business needs.